Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. There once was a faithful man who had a terribly awful life with much pain and misery, but he nonetheless bore his cross in faith and trust, a faith that God had worked in him by the Holy Spirit through his holy word, through Moses and the prophets. His trust was in the Christ who was promised to suffer and die for him to save him from sin, death, and the devil, and to bring him to the bosom of his father, Abraham. And when this faithful man did finally die, he was taken by the angels to be at his father Abraham's side at the heavenly banquet for all eternity. For like Abraham, this man believed in the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness.
On the other hand, there was another man who had life easy and never had to worry about anything. God had blessed him with much wealth. He wore the finest clothes and hosted the nicest banquets with the finest food. He lacked for nothing and always had everything in abundance. But he was often given the chance to show love and mercy to his less fortunate neighbor, to help and support him in every physical need. For his neighbor sat at his gate day after day in abject misery. But he misused the wealth God had given him. This man did not listen to Moses and the prophets, nor did he fear and love and trust in God above all things. For just as John said in our epistle lesson, he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. You see, this man was too busy using what God had given him to live his best life now, not caring about anything or anyone else but himself. He lived his whole life in unbelief, and when he died, he was sent directly to Hades, directly to hell, where he would spend eternity in much pain and misery. In our gospel lesson, the faithful man's name was Lazarus, which means God is my help. But the rich man's name, we know not. It was never given, even though most of the lesson focused on him. At the time Jesus told this story, he was involved with a heated discussion with the Pharisees, and he told this against them. But there are many lessons here that we can also learn. One major lesson is about God's holy word. In our gospel, Abraham calls it Moses and the prophets, which is another way of saying Holy Scripture. Remember, at the time that Jesus was giving this lesson, Holy Scripture was the books of the Old Testament, Moses and the prophets, because the Holy Spirit had not yet inspired the apostles to write the New Testament yet. And Paul reminds us in 2 Timothy that these sacred writings are able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And all Scripture is breathed out by God, the Holy Spirit, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And just as Abraham says in our gospel lesson, if you do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will you be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. You see, God works faith in Christ by the Holy Spirit through his holy word. In this faith, the Holy Spirit helps us to love God and to love our neighbor. As John says, we love because he first loved us. And just how did God love us? We just heard last week, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. But many will hear God's holy word of salvation through Jesus Christ, and in their pride, reject this free gift of grace and live only for themselves, just as the rich man in our gospel lesson did. Now, let's be very clear here. The sin of the rich man wasn't being rich. No, it was what he did with his wealth. This man lived an extravagant, selfish life and didn't show love to his brother who was in great need. Likewise, those who reject God's word show no love for those around them unless it will help them in some way. Just as Jesus said of the Pharisees just prior to our gospel lesson, these are those who justify themselves before men, but God knows their hearts, for what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Just think about what is exalted among men, even in our own nation. Right is called wrong, and love is supposed to be selfless, but is now used selfishly. Truth has been relegated to whatever you selfishly believe, instead of what God has declared to be true in his holy word. But maybe that isn't always what the faithless life looks like. Even just living yourself for yourself can lead you to reject God's word over time. Maybe you're simply just trying to stay afloat in life or to get ahead at work, which leads you to care less and less for your neighbor and more for yourself, until one day you realize you have no time to love your neighbor, and eventually you have no time to hear God's word. Or maybe you find that all of your time is taken up by your kids' activities or your career, and you start to choose these over coming to church each week and hearing God's word and receiving his gifts of absolution and Holy Communion. Or maybe God has blessed you with a little wealth, but over time you neglect to love and care for your neighbor, selfishly using what God has given you only for yourself. Or maybe you fear the harsh words you'll receive from your family or friends who are living a selfish life of sin, and so you keep quiet instead of sharing God's word of law with them to bring them to repentance, because you think that's actually how you can love them, although it's not. Now, if you see yourself in anything, if you see in your life anything that reflects this selfish living, don't fool yourself. God knows your heart. If you have been selfish and used your material blessings that God has given you more for yourself than others, if you haven't heard God's word and kept it, then repent. Confess your sins before God and trust in his love, which he showed us through Jesus Christ, who, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. And Being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, and was raised from the dead and ascended to the right hand of the Father. In his name, the Holy Spirit came to call you by the gospel, enlighten you with his gifts, and sanctify and keep you in the true faith until the last day, when he will raise you and all the dead and give eternal life to you and all believers in Christ. So you might ask, what does this faithful life look like? Well, take Lazarus, for example. Although he found himself in great anguish and suffering, a poor man covered in sores who just wanted just a few crumbs that fell from the rich man's table, who even the dogs came and licked his sores, yet he trusted in the Lord for his salvation. Even when he was suffering, he trusted in God's word. He trusted in Moses and the prophets, as Abraham called it, and didn't reject God's love shown through the promised Christ. He believed the love that God had for him and thus had confidence for the day of judgment. Therefore, when we suffer, we can also trust in God's word and hold fast to God's love shown through Jesus Christ our Lord and have confidence in the day of judgment. Now, in contrast, the rich man did not believe in God's word. He did not hear it. He used God's blessings only for himself. But you, as Christians, ought to show love and generosity, just as John tells us. We love because God first loved us. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. For the one who believes, the Ten Commandments become a guide to help you love God and love your neighbor, and to especially love the family of Christ even more. This includes loving and supporting your vicars, just as you loved and supported me and my family over the past year. As I have learned to preach and teach God's holy word, in your love and patience, you heard God's word of law call you to repentance and received the balm of forgiveness in the gospel from me, timidly at first, but as I grew more confident with your help, as I matured and grew. But you also showed us God's love in our daily lives. You cared for us when I was covered in sores and fed us when we had COVID. You helped me fix my truck whenever it was broken down. You invited us into your homes and shared your lives with us. Whether it be allowing us to ride in your mud wagon in the parade, or taking us to a football game, sitting and talking theology with us over a wonderful meal, sometimes just over a great beer, or giving of what God has given you in so many various ways. I could go on and on about how you loved and supported us over the last year, but now I will commend your new vicar to you. Love and support him, as John has encouraged you to do in our epistle lesson, just as you all have done for me and my family in this past year. And when God's word works faith in Jesus Christ in you by the Holy Spirit, you become part of the communion of saints. As we are gathered where God is, just as we learned in VBS this last week, in the Old Testament, that was in the temple where the ark was, in the Holy of Holies. When Jesus was incarnate, God was here on earth and took on our flesh and blood. He was Emmanuel, God with us. He died for your sins and rose again on the third day. Jesus promised to be present with you always, even to the end of the age. And so he is. He comes to you in his word, in holy baptism, and in holy communion. And the Holy Spirit is present when you hear God's word, and he works faith in you and forgives your sins each day through his means of grace. He helps you love God and love your neighbor, and especially to love your fellow Christians, and keeps you and all believers in one true faith until the last day, when you and all the dead will be raised, and he will give eternal life to all who believe and are baptized. Therefore, you can sing with David in today's psalm. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.